Tonight's the night. And it's going to happen again and again. Has to happen.
Tell me a story.
See, we got blogs, we got podcasts. You know, the information won't stop. It comes in through your head, eats out your eyes, and it's all crap. You know? See, you gotta dare for greatness these days to get people's attention. Did I get yours?
Tell me a story.
Dreams die. No. No, no, no. Not by themselves. We kill them.
90% bullshit,
but it's entertaining.
Tell me a story.
What?
Tell me a story.
What? What?
Not tomorrow, not after breakfast, now!
Arrogance.
You are shit. Y'all see what I'm tapping? Shut up! Because of my big mouth, I made this woman laugh.
You're an idiot.
Shut up. Hathui, what are you talking about? You're an idiot.
Fuck off.
Shut up.
Classy.
Yeah, that's right. I'm fucking funny. I'm fucking entertaining. Fuck you.
Alcoholism.
Kenny is a functioning alcoholic.
See, I have an alcohol issue. And
issue?
Yeah, it's an issue. It's an issue. I'm not a problem. It's just an issue.
I'm my own kind of reckless disaster. I'm fucking German. I might be Jewish, too. But I was a fucking Jedi.
Kenny likes to drink.
I was drunk. Let's all go skinny dipping. My problem is, I don't have a problem. I work all day. I come home. I have a couple of drinks. It's psychologically bad for my penis.
Arrogance and Alcoholism. The Conti and Kenny Show.
The vision is renewed. The power is reawakened. The fear is reborn. Because they have returned. Because they have returned.
All right, welcome everybody. Welcome to the Conti and Kenny Show. It is October 7th, 2013. And I am Joe Conti, of course. Arrogance and Alcoholism is the theme for the show. And my partner, Kenny Michaels, is doing something with this fucking microphone.
Hey, what's up?
You
hear me good?
What's going on, man?
Not much, man. How's it sound?
All right, sounds good now.
All right.
What's going on, man?
Not much, man. Hanging in Houston, Texas.
Here in Houston, Texas. That's right.
Home of Houston Texans.
Yes, and there's other people from Houston, right?
Yeah. It's not a real country town, though.
Yeah, you said it's more like just like a suburb, right?
Yeah, it's regular. Kind of a cool town. I took a little drive around with my friend Paul down here, and funniest thing I saw, fucking... They have, there's like four different downtown areas, right? So we go to this one hipster kind of place, like hipster area for Texas,
yeah.
If that's possible. And they do bar crawls, but they do them on like these machines where you sit, you know, 10 or 20 people sit across from each other. That looks like you're sitting at a bar. And then you are the assholes that have to pedal the thing around to the other bars while the guy... steers.
Really?
You got what I'm saying? Yeah, it looks like an old truck that would like a 1920s truck that would carry shit, like a 1920s dump truck.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But all open, and you sit across from each other and you pedal, and the gears turn the wheels, and then the guy steers it to each bar.
Really?
Yeah. It was just, I don't know if it was the stupidest thing I ever saw or the coolest.
You're not sure, huh?
Not sure. All I know is there's no fucking possible way that I want to be peddling that bullshit around downtown.
Yeah, especially if you're having a few pops, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're having a few pops, you got to piss, you peddle it, Chinaman. What the fuck am I paying you for?
Yeah, get a rickshaw out, you know?
Yeah.
Get me to the next bar.
You're Chinese. Get out of Texas.
The phone number, if you want to call in, it's 330-227-4643 or 330-2-CRINGE. Or if you want to use Skype, it's NPN Studios. And the place to go is morelikeradio.com/live. That's the chat. And follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter accounts are at CNK Show. Mine is at Joe Conti Comic. Kenny's is at Kenny Michaels 5. And like our Facebook page, Conti and Kenny. All right, got that out of the way.
Last week, did I tell the story how the GPS killed me, almost killed me?
No.
I didn't tell you that. Real quick, I was staying at a different hotel. I had to switch hotels closer mm-hmm. to downtown.
Okay.
And it's probably about a half an hour away, so I have to go half an hour out of Houston to the old hotel. Straight shot, right off the highway, not bad at all. Half an hour. You can see Houston in the horizon. You know what I mean? Nothing crazy.
Okay.
So the GPS, I'm supposed to get off at exit 38 on 288. And it takes me to get off at exit 36. And I'm like, well, last time. So I said, you know what? I'm in Texas. Let me just trust the GPS.
Yeah, in case, like, one way on the one side of the highway is a different way.
It could be. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
You know, something it sees, or, you know, it's got the traffic update. Sure, I'll go. I get off this exit on, like, Cutter Drive. It says make a right, then go 8 miles and arrive at destination.
Hmm.
So I said, okay.
It's a nice shot. Straight shot, right to it.
Straight shot, 8 miles. 500 fucking yards into it, I U-turned.
Oh, boy.
It was like fucking the time, the place time forgot. It was dilapidated buildings. There was just black people everywhere. Not that that's a bad thing, but it's not a good thing for a white guy. You know what I mean?
Well, if it's a nice area and there's black people all over the place, that's okay.
I couldn't care less. Sure, but when parts it's of a, Harlem are but, beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. But when you're in a bad area and you're the only white dude, you know, although I am a firm believer, unless you really are looking for trouble or if you're out looking for drugs, it's very rare that you get fucked with. I mean, I know a few people that, I know one kid got shot in the ass when we were in high school, but he was scoring weed in Newark and he tried to rip off the drug dealer. So of course you're going to get shot, stupid, you know, but I understand, you know, you're 1500, 2000 miles away from home. You're not in Newark where you can get home.
Exactly. I can navigate Manhattan, you know, the bad parts of Manhattan. I know how to navigate every bad part in Jersey. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I can get out of there in and out, even though the worst absolute parts of Camden or Patterson, no problem. I know where I am. I know where I see the light at the end of the tunnel. Mm-hmm. Where all I got to do is make a right here, make a left there, boom, I'm on 21, you know, and I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
This shit, you know, Texas is fucking big.
Yeah.
You know, if I go into it, it literally started to look like it was the first 48. It was just getting dark out too. You know what I mean? So I didn't have the
dark out. Could have been noon.
You know what I meant?
Bad black joke. Go ahead.
But it really was one of the first, you know, first times I'm like, nope, I'm fucking going. I don't care if it takes me an hour to get home the other way. The other way. So I got back on the highway, went south, you know, north one exit, and boom, there was the regular way I was supposed to go. But it was just the GPS fucking with me. For some reason, put me on a different way, but it was scary, dude. I'm not one to get scared with shit like that, but I had to turn around. I was not going any farther.
Yeah, part of that is being that far. When you're that far away from home in an unfamiliar area, it's weird anyway, but all of a sudden you're going through an area that's obviously a higher crime area, not because you said there's a bunch of black people, but obviously, I know what you mean. It's more of a, you know, the seedier part of town, and
I don't know how far it goes.
Yeah, you don't know. You know, it could be three dead ends. You don't know.
Yeah, yeah, you know, or it's like the National Lampoon's Vacation car with honky lips sprayed on the back of my.
You're just sitting there at the light, like, hey, you know how I can get back to the main highway? And they're jacking up your cars, you know, bad stereotypes.
my rented Chevy Malibu.
Yeah, exactly. Wood paneling on the side of the station wagon. Yeah.
But, yeah, it was a tough one.
Yeah.
You know, just think about it. You know, you go, it's dark, okay? And now, what is a white guy doing in certain neighborhoods after dark but looking for drugs? I used to take this ride home through Plainfield, which is a notorious bad place in Jersey, for anyone that didn't know. And if you stopped at lights, the guys would be on the corner, and they would come up to your window going, what you want.
Because the only reason you would be there
at that time is to score
some drugs, right?
Right, yeah, yeah. So I didn't want to deal with guys I wasn't comfortable with, so I turned around. Went home, made it safe, put on my jammies, had myself a spritzer, and had a good night's sleep.
All right, well, that's good. Good for you. I'm glad you're safe, pal.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah. It was pretty tough, but I made it out okay.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, you know what? The GPS, you know, I understand that, you know, most of the time they're pretty good, but they can be shitty, and they can throw you off. But I want to just complain a little bit about Easy Pass for a second.
Mm-hmm. Well, real quick before you get to Easy Pass, we talked about it a while ago that they actually had they actually stopped. I think it was Sony or someone coming out with a GPS that avoids bad neighborhoods, and they called it racist.
Is that what the GPS was called?
No. Oh, no. The people called the GPS racist.
Oh, because it
avoided bad neighborhoods. I forget the name of it. I'll look it up on a
It really did. Like it knows. Like what is the?
It was programmed to know the bad neighborhoods. Yeah, wow. Certain blocks. You know, certain blocks.
That's like a bad joke. That's like a bad stand-up joke that everybody was doing. You know.
Yeah, but they didn't produce it because they said it was too racist because you're avoiding the bad neighborhoods and the bad neighborhoods just happen to be minorities.
Hmm.
And sorry. I've seen some bad white neighborhoods too, man.
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, listen, a bad neighborhood is a bad neighborhood, and you know, sometimes you'll have bad neighborhoods with a lot of white people in them, and sometimes they let their grass grow a little bit too much before they cut it.
Once in a while, they only drive Fords.
Yeah, once in a while, you'll see cars that were dirty and they haven't been washed in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, and you know those little pamphlets, you know, with all the coupons. It's in the driveway for like 8 hours.
Oh yeah, it's like, come on, man. You know,
nobody picks it up.
You got any pride in your freaking neighborhood? You know?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Sometimes acorns fall on the opposite person's yard.
Yeah, yeah, and then you know that causes a huge stink, and cops are there, and there's people yelling at each other, and
there's a bunch of children in the street all the time laughing.
Yeah,
and having a good time.
Sorry about that. Ooh, man.
You know, there's still milkmen.
There's still milkmen. I don't remember the milkman. That was before my time.
I had a milkman.
Did you really?
Yeah, yeah. I remember we used to use a little aluminum container outside. And I don't know how sanitary it is, but, you know, in the summertime, it was a little aluminum can, and it was lined with styrofoam. And he'd just show up, boop, boop, a couple of bottles of milk.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember that. I know, that, you know, when you think about that, it's more of a 40s, 50s, 60s thing. But, you know, I guess stereotypically it was from back then. I just don't remember.
Yeah, it was late 70s, and I remember that we used to get glass bottles, and then it switched over to the cartons.
Oh, wow.
I remember that, too.
Well, you were from the hip town of North Edison, or what they could call Pleasant.
Or I could just remember that in my former life when I was James Cagney.
Yeah, see, you got this milk. Yeah,
milkman, see? Let me tell you now, milkman. Got to figure out some way to keep this icebox colder.
You were telling me you were watching a James Cagney film. And
Well, let's get into the Easy Pass before we get into that.
Yeah, this is nothing. This is just, it's unbelievable what I've been trying to, because Easy Pass is great. And, you know, everybody knows what Easy Pass is. And if you don't.
If Sonny Corleone had Easy Pass, he'd still be alive today.
And, so I've had Easy Pass forever, and Beverly, my Goyle, she's never really had the Easy Pass, and Finally, now she's got the new vehicle. Now she thinks she's fucking special because she drives a Mercedes. Now she's like, you know, listen, I'm upper crust. I'm special. I need an Easy Pass. So I get in touch with my Easy Pass like in August, beginning of August. I say, hey, listen, can you guys, as soon as she got her car, I'm like, can you guys send me another tag? Just put it on my account. It's going to go on this car with this registration. They said, no problem, 7 to 10 days. Month goes by, nothing. So I call them back, and they're like, I don't know. We sent it to you. Can you give us, for your account, can you please verify certain things? And I go to verify it, and now I had just, you know, I moved, you know, Kenny, I used to live in my daddy's basement for a very long time.
The man pad.
The man pad. Yeah, that's what I had between my legs. And so 2 years ago, I moved in with Beverly. So I moved in from one town to another. So now I still had Easy Pass. I've had Easy Pass for 10 years, and I still had it for like the last, whatever it is, over two years since I moved from my town into where, in the new town, you know, the new place I live. And they're like, can you just verify your address? You know how they say that, you know, when you call up for a credit card, we need you to verify your address. So I give them the address, and they're like, oh, that's not the address we have. I'm like, what do you mean that's not the address we have? I've been here for 2 years. What they did was my old address, let's just say it was 25 Main Street, right? And I lived in Parsippany. You know, now I live at, let's say, 100 Vine Avenue, and I live in Wayne, right? You know what they did? They took my old address and basically the new street, which is the new street I live on, but kept my old city. So the address is the correct street that I live at now, but it's my old town in Parsippany. So that friggin' road doesn't exist. There is no street that I live on in the town of Parsippany. And I'm like, well, really, people? Like, why didn't you contact me when bills were coming back or whatever? You know, when you guys send me shit. So they don't know. So I had to go and send them a receipt for a bill and all this stuff to show that I live here, even though I've lived here for fucking 2 years. So now I sent it to them. They're like, no problem. So then I'm waiting. They're like, another 7 to 10 days. Nothing. I get nothing. Another 3 weeks go by, and I call them back, and I'm like, I just want a fucking Easy Pass. I'm like, I felt like Heath Ledger. I'm like, why so serious? I just wanted an Easy Pass. Like,
you're not making this very
easy. You're not making this very difficult.
You turn it to Nicholson? Let me tell you something. You're not making it very goddamn easy for me to get a goddamn Easy Pass.
It's in the name. It says easy. Why are you making it so difficult?
Why are you making it so goddamn difficult?
Should call this thing Hard Pass.
You should call it, I'll stick it up your ass, pal. Cow. I am sick and tired of your ringy-dingy bullshit. It's about to go up your ass, and it's going to be connected to the bumper of my car, pal.
So, dude, now what I have to do, they're like, all right, well, we need the new vehicle. What's the vehicle? So now I had to get a copy of Beverly's friggin' insurance card and her registration, and now I had to fax that to them to let them know. So that was, and then I waited another 2 weeks, and then I called them again, and they were like, we don't know what happened. Dude, it's been 2.5 months, and I still can't get an Easy Pass. And it's just, it's unbelievable. I'm not even, just send it to me. It's the same account. Just send me a fucking Easy Pass. I still don't have it. It's fucking beginning of October. It's. I think it was the end of July. I think she got her car the end of July, and it's the beginning of October. And I give her the Easy Pass because she uses it for her tolls every day. I don't use it every day, but it's just annoying. After a while, it's like, really, do you not want my dumb fucking money? Like, I just don't. You know what it is, dude? It's customer service is horrendous, and I've been very patient, and I've been very nice, because I'm realizing that it's not, you know, there's something that's going on, but it's not like they're out to fuck me. It's not like they're like...
Customer service. How about I serve your... Customer serve your mother's ass with my foot, you ringy-dingy asshole. I don't even know who I'm doing now.
Yeah, so it's just...
Well,
it's,
now so they're tailing. They just found in Manhattan that, you know, the whatchamacallit, the pictures, they're using EasyPass and pictures. They say to do surveys on traffic.
No, it's to give people tickets.
No. It's to track people where they are.
Oh.
You can. It's a complete where they're using. They're using. You're actually getting not a picture taken, but you're registering on their database or whatever. Whenever you go through one of those lights, so they can track down wherever you're going. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay. So it's kind of Big Brotherish.
Exactly. Huge Big Brotherish. Yeah, but they said they've been doing it for years to look at traffic patterns.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I told you, but I got nailed in New York about a month ago. And there's no disputing that shit. They send you a picture, a color photo of your license plate, nice and bright.
Right.
And then you running the light.
Yep,
with the picture of the red
picture
light.
Of and Kenny winking with a bottle of rum in his right hand.
Uh-huh, and then you can go, they tell you to go to this video, and you can watch yourself blow through the light. There is no disputing that shit, man. You're just like, right, cut the check. Don't even worry about it.
Yep, that's when you get, you're caught red-handed, you're like, all right, whatever I got to do, I got to get
yeah,
out of here.
It's like, okay, you got me. Nothing I can do.
Yep.
I knew I got it too because I saw the flash. I'm like, ah, fuck. That'll show up in the mail soon. And then I was like, holy shit, they really fucking big blown up license plate. They see me with my middle finger out the sunroof. And then I could go watch the video.
Unbelievable. That's scary though because, see, the thing is because I try not to abuse it, but, you know, I got my little shield because my brother is one of the policemen, you know? So I, you know. You know, I may speed a little bit here and there and, you know, whatever. But now it's like you can't even, like, you know, early in the morning or late at night and you're at a light where it's obvious. Like, there are certain lights in, you know, on the road that need to change to blinking lights after, like, midnight. You know what I mean? Like, they're not on a main road and it shouldn't be, you know, a regular light at 2 a.m. because there's nobody on the road, and they don't. And now those are the times where I'm like, eh, fuck this, and I just take off. But now you know, you just don't know because I don't have a cop to go, hey, no problem, take it easy, you know, be careful, slow down, don't be a douche, whatever it is. Now it's just the eye in the sky, you know?
Yeah, dude, down here in the South, Florida, Texas, and, you know, Oklahoma and whatnot, you would fucking freak out on how long the traffic lights are. You basically to the point where you want to scream, fucking come on already.
Really?
And once you drive around a little bit and you get caught in one, you're like, fuck, son of a bitch. Because everyone's just la-di-da-di-da-di-da-di-da-di. Not to mention down here, there's the I-10. It's 10 lanes on each side. 10 fucking lanes on each side of the road.
Really?
Yes. Coming and going, north and south, you've got two lanes that are almost like fenced off for HOV, you know, for passengers.
Okay.
Then you've got seven lanes in the middle, you know,
geez.
Seven lanes. And then you've got a feeder lane, so 9 lanes
from the exits. God. And they must have cameras everywhere.
I have no, they said they just did it, but because the traffic down here is really bad.
Really?
Yeah, there's this 610. Basically, if you had like Manhattan or like a big city, and almost like the Beltway in DC,
right?
It just circles around, and that's like if you're in the circle, you're cool. If you're out of the circle, you're not. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And it goes around all of Houston, and you just take exits to get wherever you need to, off of 610. But it's 610 and 59 is the most congested in the country. Because just of the volume of cars. So they changed it. Yeah, let's just put fucking 10 lanes.
Wow.
you want to go 3-4 lanes? Fucking put 10.
That's frightening.
Let's show our dicks here.
Holy crap, yeah. Dude.
Everything's bigger in Texas. Let's put 10 goddamn lanes. Fuck it, let's put 11. You know what? Let's even people get goddamn jet cars. Can we get some jet cars? Can we do that? Son of a bitch. Why don't we just do something? Let's get everybody rocket ships and stick it to the car. Whenever they're on the beltway, they could just go Route 610. Just hit your jet engines. Let's get, goddamn it, let's get jet engines. You can only use them for a certain stretch inside the Houston Loop. Fuck it. Let's put 10 goddamn lanes here. It's, 10 fucking lanes.
That's frightening, dude.
Yeah, he was telling me about it. And then the guy, he was like, yeah, check this out. And I'm like, holy shit. You better commit to that left lane because you ain't exiting.
Yeah, you better have 100 miles to go. And you better hope that none of those cameras catch you doing 110, you know?
You're just looping Houston the whole time.
Wow.
Big Ben, Parliament.
Wow.
Yeah, because if you're like, oh shit, that's my exit, you're like, okay, I'm going to Austin.
Ah, damn, dude.
Yeah, 10 lane. It's not the whole thing. It's only, I think it's like a 10 or 12 mile stretch or something like that. 10 still. Fucking lanes.
Wow.
It's scary too, man. The people don't drive as fast as they do down by us.
Yeah.
But it's still, okay. It's just too many cars.
It's too many cars, dude. Well, that's why that one stretch in Jersey on the Garden State Parkway, right by you, Kenny, I think it's about, it's exit 130. It is northbound. On 130 to like 135, 131 to 135, somewhere around there. At one point, it's six lanes across.
Yeah.
And they call it Death Valley because there's just more accidents in that area and just deaths than anywhere else on the parkway. And there's just, and it's noted too. And you just, because there's too many, especially in Jersey, all right? You have six lanes going across, and everybody is doing a minimum of 65.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're just in and out, man. And it is frightening. And there's always just terrible, terrible accidents. And it just delays constantly because there's just body parts everywhere. It's brutal.
Yeah, I drive like a vagina now, and I couldn't take it. I'm like, this is some bullshit.
Why, and, wet and smelly? Is that how you drive? Yeah, boy.
Oh, boy. Worn out and lonely.
I don't know which one that describes better, you or the vagina. I think that was a better description of you, buddy. Sitting there in big old Texas by yourself.
Yeah.
God,
my PJs are ready, and it's nice. 6:30 down here.
Hey, you're in the chat, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Because I'm not, and I'm not looking in the chat because we're going to be doing a shorter show today because I'm leaving early to go watch my Jets get pummeled by Atlanta, and it starts at 8:30. I'm probably going to leave a little after that. I'm going to have it recorded and go home and catch up and watch it. So we'll probably do maybe a little less than 2 hours, which will be fine.
Sure.
And then you're going to be back next week, right?
Not sure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not sure. I might have to do one more remote.
All right. Cause Mike will be in next week. So we'll do a show, either with you here or, you know, via the Skype.
How we're doing it now. Yeah.
Yeah. We're doing all right.
Sure.
We're doing all right. All right. Oh, just to remind everybody, if they want to get Conti and Kenny stickers, they're cool. They're like 4x4, not like, you know, like a Jeep. I'm saying 4 inches by 4 inches. Cute little stickers. If you want one,
that's the same dimensions as my dick and balls.
You went for a cheap dick joke, and you got what you deserve.
One right in the face.
A cheap dick right in the face. But if you want a sticker, email us at contiandkenny@aol.com. Yes, it's at AOL. We're dinosaurs. Go fuck yourself. And send us your address, and we'll pay for the postage. And we'll send you stickers. All right.
Guest 446460. It's like prison. What are we in? Shawshank Redemption.
What?
Says hi, Joe. And that's it.
Hi, guest 4267 1/3.
Guest 4267 9. Sweetwater 478.
Hey, dude.
I'm plugging in a switchboard. What am I, Lily Tomlin?
That's a good reference. That's
it's a Big very Glenn. Reference. Woohoo!
Yeah, that's a very good Glenn. All right.
He says it's Big Glenn.
Big Glenn.
Big Glenn. And well, a woohoo at the end of it.
Well, it's either two. It's either one Glenn who has done stand-up, who I know through stand-up, or it's my one friend Glenn who is brother-in-law with a good friend of mine. So it's either one of the two. But very
you call
cool.
them both Big Glenn?
But they're both big guys. They're both like 6'3" and, you know, big dudes. So they
shouldn't
they
it be
both...
the other way around? It should be like Little Glenn?
But they don't know each you know, other, stupid. You know, they you, don't
you,
have...
You tell them like... No, no, no. You tell them like, you know, call them like Shorty when he's
no,
like 7'4" or slim.
Yeah, okay. Hey, what's up there? Hey, big man. And the guy's real small. I don't do that crap.
But you're not from 1940?
No, I'm not from 1940. Yeah, see? You get yourself a pie here, and then you get yourself a dame with long stems, and you buy her a pie. And then hopefully you get to put it in there and give her the old high hard one. Yeah.
Hey, Slim, why don't you pour me a drink there, pal? Listen there, Slim. Listen there, Slim. Scram. I'm waiting for a dame.
Hey, do you want... where is it?
Guest 660599.
Yeah.
Says hello.
Oh, it's another guest?
Yeah.
Hey, do you want to
hear? You said Glenn, your one friend.
I have a few friends, bastards. Hey, you want to hear this old, it's an old quick commercial. And it's for NARC, NARC. Which is the National Associations for Retarded Children and or Children's Association. But the spokesperson was none other than Barbara Streisand.
Yeah.
All right? It's like a minute long, okay?
Hal's in the chat room, H-O-L-L-Z.
Hey,
says,
what's up?
Bring me a sticker next week.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm going to bring a ton of stickers to the... Oh, yeah, that's right. That's next Saturday, October 19th. Well, I'll promote it more next week. The it's a fundraiser with me, Bob Levy, Otto and George, Big Jay Okerson, Mike Buschetti. This guy, well, he calls himself Narc Zito, guy who's got some cancer going on in his life, and they're trying to raise some money for him.
I hear it all over Ron and Fez and O&A and the whole thing. It should be really cool.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
It's a really cool event.
And it's going to be at the Bitter End in New York City on Saturday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, which is very cool, at least for comics, so we can do it. And then, because I have a gig in Jersey that night.
Yeah, it's just when they're all getting off cocaine.
Yeah, so that's going to be really cool. And Holly, who does her show, the It's All About Me podcast, her and Levy kind of were the brainchild with this, and they came up with the whole idea of doing this. So it's
oh, is that Holly's? Holly?
Yes.
That's
yep.
Okay.
Holly's very cool. All right. So you want to hear this, dude?
Yeah, sure, of course.
All right. So
it's not that I'm clearly glad they made the Children's Aid Society. Remember that?
What is that from?
Oh, it's from like you'd see it on like cartoons and stuff. It was for like a children's thing, but it popped up in my dream yesterday, a couple of days ago. That's weird that I brought it up. I didn't even remember that popped into my dream. It's Children's Aid Society. It's I don't know. It's forget it. It's old 80s, back in the 80s.
Oh, okay.
Continue. I apologize.
All right. Here we go.
People who need people. All the luckiest people in the world.
That was a lucky song for me. But it made me think, what about people who aren't so lucky? Like the thousands and thousands of children who are born each year mentally retarded. They're often quite helpless. But with help, wonderful things can happen. Like a little retarded boy putting on his own hat and coat for the first time, all by himself. Or maybe a teenager will learn how to work at a job and feel useful, needed, self-supporting. The retarded are people who need people. They can be helped. Won't you support the work of your local unit of the National Association for Retarded Children?
dude.
Who's the spokesperson? Judy Garland?
No, it's Barbara Streisand.
It is Barbara Streisand. Okay, that's what I thought when she sang. It's really funny how you don't realize how funny the word sounds. Not that it's funny to be retarded, all right, people? I'm not saying that. No, I have them in my family.
It's don't funny worry. When she's like, well, first of all.
She makes it sound when a child somebody's is retarded.
Mentally retarded. Retarded. She's got this. But the one point when she goes, you know, because retarded people need help too. Like a young boy who could finally button his own shirt and pants, coat pockets by himself. And it's like, dude, she's making it like they're fucking mongoloids. Like, they, you know, they can't even fucking function. You're just retarded. You're just slow.
When a young boy reaches the age where he doesn't have shit in the back of his shoes. Finally, when a young boy decides that he doesn't have to tackle everyone with his enormous amount of strength. Have you ever seen the hog on a retarded child?
You know, when a young retarded boy finally gets at an age where he doesn't hug every pet in the house until they're dead.
We're not retarded. We're mentally challenged.
Listen to yourself. You sound like a fucking retard.
You know, it's just not right. The fact that, but it's just like, here, I'll get to, I'm not going to do her whole goddamn.
People who aren't so lucky.
All right, here we go.
Like the thousands and thousands of children who are born each year mentally retarded. They're often quite helpless.
They're often quite helpless. All right? I love that, you know, like, and they're showing kids who are just kind of, they look kind of normal. They just, whatever, you know, they're just, but here we go. This is what the girl, this is what she says that every retarded boy needs to be able to do.
But with help, wonderful things can happen. Like a little retarded boy putting on his own hat and coat for the first time.
Wonderful things can happen. Like a little retarded boy can put his hat and coat on by himself. Like that's
what does she act like they're Stephen Hawking?
I know. You know
what I mean? they can do just fine.
Yeah, it's the mentally retarded.
You just got to train them with treats. Sorry, I apologize for that. Sorry.
Jello treats.
We're not making fun of retarded people. We're making fun of how weird it sounds.
You don't have to explain it, dude.
I shouldn't be so fucking sensitive.
Yeah, I know. We've become such a sensitive fucking douchebaggy society. But yeah, I just find it. First of all, it's the way she says they're mentally retarded. She just, I don't know. There's just something because she's got like that fake British accent thing going here.
Check it out. She's from fucking Long Island.
I know. She's a Jew
from Massapequa. She shouldn't be sounding like, you know, Queen of fucking England.
I know, here, listen.
Like the thousands and thousands of children who are born each year mentally retarded. They're often quite helpless.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Line up her accent with the, whatchamacallit, the accent, the son of a bitch. Who the fuck's the guy with the cane? Walks bow-legged.
Guy with the cane?
Yeah, the tramp. What the fuck's his name?
Charlie Chaplin.
Holy shit. I could not get it out.
The guy with the cane. I thought you meant somebody with cocaine. I'm like, what are you talking about?
No. Can you do me a favor? Can you play a piece of the tramp? You know, of his speech from the dictator or the emperor, whatever it was.
Oh, okay. The one that we use in the Otto speech.
Exactly.
In the Otto, Puppies and Sunshine.
Right. Line up that accent with Barbara Streisand's accent.
Hold on.
And now, Charlie Chaplin is...
The dictator of Tomania, the conqueror of Austerlitz, the future emperor...
All right, he hasn't even walked up.
When he talks soft.
Get on with it.
I'm sorry, but I don't want to be an emperor. That's not my business. I don't want to rule or conquer anyone. I should like to help everyone if possible. Jew, Gentile, black man, white.
Okay, now.
Now go to Barbara Streisand.
That was a lucky song for me. But it made me think, what about people who aren't so lucky? Like the thousands and thousands of children who are born each year mentally retarded. They're often quite helpless. But with help, wonderful things can happen. Like a little retarded boy putting on his own hat and coat for the first time.
Sounds similar, doesn't it?
It's not bad. It's not bad.
It's close.
We all want to help one another. Human beings are like that.
Even Charlie Chaplin wants to help the retarded kids.
Yeah.
That's not bad. There we go.
Or maybe a teenager will learn how to work at a job and feel useful.
And feel useful.
He doesn't feel anything. He's retarded.
We want to live by each other's happiness, not by each other's misery. We don't want to hate and despise one another. In this world, there's room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone.
You're right. There's something going on there.
Right? Right?
There is something going on. Hold on.
Wrong for me. But it made me think, what about people who aren't so lucky? Like the thousands and thousands of children who are born each year mentally retarded. They're often quite helpless. But with help, wonderful things can happen. Like a little retarded boy putting on his own hat and coat for the first time. All by himself. Or maybe...
By himself.
See, now, you can hear her change. The beginning, she sounds more American, you know what I mean? And then she slides into it, just like when Chaplin slides, you know, I want to help everyone. The earth is plentiful to feed all. Indeed. We can all eat.
We can all have a mentally retarded child.
We can all have a succulent meal.
A succulent meal?
A Chinese succulent meal.
Made by a retarded child, boy? I don't want to rule or conquer anything. I just want to have sex with retarded children. Oof. What a fucking... And then the girl... Here, hang on.
And... ...hat and coat for the first time, all by himself. Or maybe a teenager will learn how to work at a job and feel useful, needed, self-supporting. The retarded are people who need people. They can be helped. Won't you support the work of your local unit of the National Association for Retarded Children? Thank you.
I got to tell you, and I will say it right now, if you find this thing on YouTube, Barbara for the Retarded Children's Association, there's like one or two of them, she looks good. She looks very attractive.
Oh, yeah, she was. She wasn't bad.
No, not at all. Then I don't know. She grew into her nose. I'm not sure what happened.
Yeah, well, I mean, she's fucking 70s now.
No, but yeah, this was like, you know, very early on. And, but this is just fantastic. So she.
Pretty much any broad looks good at 19. Just wait until they hit 50. then they're all awful. It's over.
Where is she? Here it is. There's a couple of these, but it's pretty much the same thing. It's kind of weird the way she just kind of, I don't know, I guess that, I mean, listen, it was like, what, 1971, 1972,
something
like that.
What about the verbiage of it? You know what I mean? That's kind of offensive now.
I know.
You know what I mean? She'd be like, stick this script up your ass.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. I'm not doing this.
I'm singing Greensleeves. Fuck you.
She might not even say mentally challenged. She'd be too uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know?
Isn't that amazing if you think about it? In reality, what she said here, there is nothing wrong with what, I mean, listen, you know, she kind of, it wasn't about the verbiage, the whole idea behind it that retarded children are fucking helpless was a little much, exactly. But besides that, take that aspect out, even if it's just for, hey, you know, look, you know, we want to do some things for help retarded children because they don't have the, you know, they don't have the skills as an average as a child with average intelligence have, so they're going to need a little bit of help.
Now,
nothing wrong with any of that verbiage.
Yeah. Also, remember, you're late 60s, early 70s when this came out. So you're just coming back from the baby boom, where all the people from, you know, the coming back from the war, the 40s, you know, late 40s, the 50s, and the 60s are now. That's when everything was Leave It to Beaver. So you couldn't have a retarded kid. You put them away. Even the Kennedys did.
The Kennedys had it, right? They had one.
Yeah, the Kennedys. They shipped you. You know, they weren't accepted for most part. You know, you would put them in a home, and they would sit there and rot.
Yep.
You know what I mean? For 30 years.
They were almost an embarrassment. Because the life
expectancy isn't there.
They were almost so now, an embarrassment.
That was probably one of the first advocacy kind of programs, I guess, you know what I mean, to actually help mentally challenged people or people with disabilities. You know, that's when they finally woke up and were like, all right, we're stop, you know, putting this kid's perfectly fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's over here. He's working in the kitchen. He does all this. He's a perfectly fine human being. You know, you take care of him. He's your kid. You know, but just think about that. That's right after that baby boom where some of them, you know, they had a little bit of Agent Orange in their system or some, you know, got one nut shut off and a Kazarine pass. Didn't have enough baby juice to make a whole kid. But you couldn't be the businessman, come home and everything. Hello, wife. How's the kids? You know, like the TV. You know what I mean? No, right. there was going to be some kids with some problems. You know, there's going to be some kids with some lobster claws or a mental disability.
I might have to play something. All right. I might have to play this. Let me see if this. Okay, wait a minute, dude. We might have something here. Okay. Speaking of retarded, my girlfriend just texted me, and she was just goofing because there's something that's on the internet. I don't know if you've seen this. It's a thing that's like an app you put on your phone, right? And then you put your headphones on, and it plays this sound in your ears. And what it does, it throws you off when you try to speak.
It's called the Conti and Kenny Show. Live from fucking Houston.
No, so what it is, it's this thing that is in the, it's in this fucking thing here. And what you do is you play it in your headphones and it like echoes and makes all sorts of noise. So if you try to speak to somebody or even try to read something or whatever, it comes out like fucked up, like the way you speak, right? So Beverly was doing it the other night. She did it to me. It didn't affect me. But she was doing it, and dude, I swear to God, you got to hear this. All right, let me. I think this is the one.
Okay, so it's almost like if you were speaking as if you were deaf, you can't tell tones that's coming out of your mouth.
It does that, but it also it's called speech jammer. She just texted me. So what it jams you up because you hear yourself. It echoes, and there's all these different sounds. So when you're talking, you'll be like. So I just want to say, right? Well, Beverly was recording, and let me see if this will play. I think it'll play. And dude, at one point, I laughed so hard because I'm like, I'm banging a retarded girl, okay? Let me see.
Mentally challenged, please, Joe.
Okay.
Ew, I don't like that.
Okay.
Ew.
I think this is it.
I don't like the way it sounds.
She's just hearing it now.
That didn't bother you?
Here we go.
It was okay.
It's like a machine in my head.
In my head. It was a machine in my head. It's loud.
You're hurting my ears.
Sorry. What am I hurting?
You're hurting my ears.
My ears.
Gets better.
What time are you getting out of work tomorrow?
You have a very big pickiness. I love to play with your penis.
Dude, it was...
Holy shit. That she actually went...
She went, I like to play with your penis.
And it like vibrated. Like,
dude,
that's
just,
so weird, man.
Dude, it was hilarious to just listen to her. And I sat there and go... If the Federales are listening right now, I'm getting taken in for having sex with a young retarded child because she just sounds so like when she said, you know, she was trying to make jokes. She was like, you have a big penis, your penis. That was just her trying to speak. And it
while
fucked
the stuff's
her voice
going
up.
In her ears.
Yes.
In her ears.
In her ears.
My ears.
There it is.
What time are you getting out of work tomorrow?
You have a very big pickiness. I love to play with your penis.
See how it makes you shake?
Yes, it slows down your speech, and it was one of the funniest things I ever heard, and she happened to have it recorded, so, oh, God, yeah, that's...
What is that called again?
Speech Jammer. She just texted me.
Speech Jammer. That's hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. She saw it on Tosh. The people would call. People would record themselves. You know how people were doing that with the Two Girls, One Cup, recording somebody else
watching it?
Yeah, well, they would record themselves on their computer with the headphones on with Speech Jammer. And it would just, you would just.
Is that new?
I don't know. I had never heard of it before. So.
I never heard of it either.
So, yeah.
That's pretty funny. Yeah. That's really funny, actually.
All right. You want to take a quick break and then we'll come back and we'll do a little bit more and then we'll get out of here?
Yeah, yeah. I also want to check out Mouth Jammer.
No, it's...
Where you just shut a woman up by sticking your penis right in her gullet.
All right, let's take a quick break. And we come back...
Take that in your cock holster, sweethearts.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and we'll do some more and then we'll get the hell out of here.
Okay.
All right, it's the Conti Kenny Show on morelegradio.com.
Fellas, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to adamandeve.com, and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. Oh, no. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration. Plus, a free extra gift so sensual, we can't mention it on the radio. And to top it all off, we'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. And no, we're not teasing. So check out adamandeve.com today for this special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type DEAL48 for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, you'll get 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. Just use offer code DEAL48 at adamandeve.com.
Wrestling's fake.
Oh, yeah?
Jesus!
The organization that brought you Tangled Web, Tournament of Death, and Prelude to Violence. 15 years of hardcore tradition. The Combat Zone is professional wrestling's proving grounds. Combat Zone doesn't do PG. No ballroom dancers or pimps shucking and jiving in our ring. Just the biggest names in independent professional wrestling. Masada.
Oh my God! What the hell? Yes. What the hell?
Adam Cole.
Only in pro wrestling can two men kill each other and then follow it up with a hug of covered blood.
Danny Havoc.
Oh, no, no, no.
God, oh, no.
Drake Younger.
Just moving your body on the canvas. Painful?
God. Not at all with that! Yeah.
CZW features the ultimate hybrid style of high-flying mat wrestling combined with hardcore, death-defying action the other promotions wish they were allowed to show you. Get the latest news on live events, internet pay-per-views, and more. Or score yourself a classic CZW t-shirt from their online store. Support the ultra-violent underground. Go to czwrestling.com or follow Combat Zone on Twitter.
Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Missed your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zooms, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it. Hey man, when you need to look your finest, what do you do?
Well, I grab my favorite t-shirt, of course.
You know, I just knew you were gonna say that, and I was gonna ask, have you ever checked out T-Fury?
I think so. That's the website with the new t-shirt every day, right?
That's the one. At tfury.com, there's a brand new t-shirt design every day, and each one lasts for only 24 hours, then it's gone forever.
So it's tea today, gone tomorrow?
Exactly.
That's a lot of t-shirts. Where do they all come from?
Well, each design is submitted by a freelance artist, so no two are exactly alike. And the best part? All these tees feature nothing but nerd references. Whether it's movies, TV shows, video games, cartoons, comics, or culture, they're all awesome. And get this, each tee is just 11 bucks.
Dude, it looks like I need to update my wardrobe. What's that website again?
Just use tinyurl.com/MLRTees. That's tinyurl.com/MLRTEES. Each limited edition tee lasts for only 24 hours, so get over there before time runs out.
Check out today's T-Fury design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTees.
MoreLikeRadio.com, where the talk just keeps on coming.
Hey, you. Yes, you guessed 10,542. Change your username. And while you're in a More Like Radio live page, listening to fine quality programming, notice the banner ad just slightly above the chat room? It's a link to something you want in Amazon. Click it. It's probably reminding you to order something you need from Amazon.com. Don't leave MLR and type the URL like a sucker. Just click the link, and it'll open in a new window. This way you can buy your shit and continue listening to the show. Now, change your username. It's right there on the right, stupid.
Hello, my name's Dave Ingram.
And it's me, the Impossible D.
And we are...
Rubbish!
Metal Breakfast Radio. And when we're not drinking a few frothy ales...
There's a drunk just come on.
Or when we're not slagging amateur musicians...
Banjo fucker!
And telling them what's exactly wrong with their music...
Bastards. Or what's right, that could be a quicker way out of it.
Get over there!
Then we're listening to The Conti and Kenny Show.
Load of bollocks.
We have to.
Keep listening. It's The Conti and Kenny Show. .com. Do you know that Joe has moved in with his girlfriend?
How's that working out?
My girlfriend is a squirter, and it flooded the whole basement.
I would rather be dead than not have cock.
Yeah. All right. Welcome back. It's the Conti and Kenny Show. MoreLikeRadio.com. Follow us on Twitter. Be our friends on Facebook. If you want stickers, email us at ContiandKenny@AOL. And subscribe to Conti and Kenny Shorts. We haven't made one in a while, but we got seven of them, all right? I got seven Conti and Kenny Shorts. They're all anywhere from 20 to 35 minutes apiece. Some of our best moments, recent, and we're starting to get some older stuff. I just been so busy.
15 years of material.
How much?
15.
15 years of material. That's right. I forgot. We started this in 2005. 2005.
2005.
Aught 5. Aught 5. So, I gave the phone number, right? 330. To cringe or Skype NPN Studios. All right. If you'd like to call in. Like I said, so after us, I don't know. I'm not sure. I forgot to let Mitch know. I think what'll happen is when we get off the air, I think last week's show will play on till 10 o'clock. And then the girls will be right after us. The girls from Lust and Love will be on. So check out Lust and Love at 10 o'clock.
I may make an appearance also.
Yeah, because you're sitting in the apartment out. I mean, what do you call it? Hotel room with your Skype. You can call in and be part of the show.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm in a Candlewood, mm-hmm. and they're good because they're like a little apartment. I got a big desk, big flat screen TV, nice comfy bed, little nice. Bathroom.
Okay.
Little kitchenette, as they call it, little hot plate, little stove. You know
nice,
what I mean?
Nice, nice.
So I have some comforts, but this is obviously an older one.
Okay.
Because when I check in, I'm like, yeah, can I have the Ethernet cable? Because I just hook right into the wall. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Because it's better than the Wi-Fi for the Skype.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, hold on 1 second. And she comes back. She's got a phone cord, a power box, some kind of modem-looking thing, and then the Ethernet cable. And it's all tangled together. And I'm like, don't you just plug the blue one into the wall? And she's like, it has to go through the phone first. Because on the wall it says voice, and the phone is hooked up to it. Then the other one says data.
Oh, wow.
So it's a phone line into a little modem thing, I guess, or a little
Jesus,
converter.
How old is that place? Do they have colored rooms and white rooms, too?
No.
Oh, my God.
You should see the line at the water fountains. Son of a bitch. Sorry, I stumbled.
That's okay. We let you slide. Hey, I hope everybody saw the picture. And if you haven't seen it, just go to ContiandKenny.com. It'll take you through the front page of the website, which is basically whenever I put like something that's coming on, whether it's a upcoming show or we put a show up or a news thing or anything we want to announce, it's right on the front page. And Dave Ingram sent me this picture, and it's Kenny in a maid's outfit. I'm sure you saw it, Kenny, right?
It's my Facebook profile
it's
photo
your
right now.
I know, I saw that. When did you do that today?
Last night.
Last night?
Because Heather Height got on me because I hadn't changed my profile photo in years. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? It's an old headshot. And so I said, you know what? You're right. You're absolutely right. So I'm going to change. I put it up there for shits and giggles, as they say.
Yeah, I would leave it up there for a while.
Yeah, I'm going to put back up my favorite one, our photo booth picture.
Oh, okay. That's a good one.
Yeah, I got a bunch of comments on that one.
But if you want to see it, go to ContiandKenny.com. And Dave Ingram sent it to me. And, of course, Dave Ingram, if you don't know, you just heard his voice. He is our pal from Copenhagen, and he does his podcast, which is Metal Breakfast Radio, which is a great podcast. Go to MetalBreakfastRadio.com to subscribe. So he sent me a thing on my Facebook and said, I just had a little look online. And if you're Italian or even half Italian, then you become a made man. Does this mean Kenny could be a man made? M-A-I-D. Here, boy. And then is a picture of Kenny, his face, superimposed on a guy who's dressed up in a maid outfit. So awful and so perfect. It just works out great. So
it's a big dude, too.
Yeah, it looks a pretty big guy, right?
Looks like a big guy squeezed into a maid outfit.
He squeezed into an extra large woman's maid outfit. But yeah, I would definitely check that out. And Kenny's going to keep it up on his Facebook for a couple more days.
My mother commented, oh, God.
Did she?
Yeah, that was it. She just put, oh, God.
Yeah.
See, with the Facebook... I'm not going to take a selfie or nothing like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I totally accepted that I should have changed my thing. My voicemail message is still probably 10 years old.
Is it really?
At least 10 years old. Yeah, I've never changed it.
It's pretty much the one as long as I can remember.
Yeah, I've never changed it since literally probably if you hear it's Kenny Michael. There's
Kenny.
Even before the S.
Oh, yeah. Actually, you know what's kind of old? Because he's like, hey, this is Kenny Michael. I'm not here right now. I'm on my way to the World Trade Center. I work there. It's a really beautiful place. You know, and the buildings are awesome. It's like, no, you know, why don't you change it? All right? Fucking thing's old, okay?
Hi, this is Kenny Michael. Please leave your name and number after the tone. Let's roll. Hi, this is Kenny Michael. Please leave your name and number. Dino Mike.
Dino Mike.
Hey, this is Kenny Michael. Please leave your name and number. What's up? Hey, this is Kenny Michael. Please leave your name and number. Where's the beef?
Hi, this is Kenny Michael. Please leave a message. Read my lips.
Hi, this is Kenny Michael. Please leave a message. Avoid the Noid.
Did you ever do that when you were younger, where you would play with your voicemail, like the not on your cell phone? This is when we actually had voicemail answering machines, and make like a wacky answering machines. You know, and make like a wacky message.
No, not really.
I did. Back in like 97, I was huge into the Stern Show. So I took different clips from the Stern Show and made it into my answering machine. And it was like, you know, like, hey, this is Joe. And then you would hear Howard going, I love him. And then it would be like, you know, leave me a message. And it would be like, you know, Fred would be like, we're waiting. I don't even remember what it was. The only thing I do remember was a clip of Stern going, I love him. And and I forget what else was on it, but I made a, this was like 97. I was like 28 years old. I should be embarrassed. But
yeah,
that's what this show is. We just let it all out.
I remember there was one time where I had caller ID on the phone. It was my line at my mother's house, my own line. Mm-hmm. And it was a Plainfield extension. It was a 908, so it was a Plainfield extension, and Plainfield is a rough town. So one afternoon, I got about seven consecutive calls, all right in a row. And it was, and now I let the voicemail pick up. And I have the tape somewhere, one of those little cassette tapes, because I saved it. And it was, this is the Plainfield Correctional Facility. Will you accept a call from Jamal? And it was, and all it was a recording, and he would just have to say your name after the beep, and he would go, Jamal. Right? So I got three Jamals in a row. Jamal. On the fourth call, this is from the Plainfield Correctional Facility. You have a collect call from, pick up the phone, bitch! And call number five, you have a collect call from, I'm going to kill your ass! And then it was, pick up the phone, bitch. And then wow. So I got, at first I was like, holy shit, that's funny. Then I'm like, well, he has my phone number. He can track it down. You know, he is in jail. But it was I got to find that tape somewhere, man. And
still have it, huh?
Yeah, I have it in a box somewhere. Wow. Somewhere up in the annals of my childhood.
It was
fucking. It was three Jamals. Then it was, pick up the phone, bitch. You have a collect call from, I'm going to kill your ass. You know, obviously he only had like 3 minutes to get in touch with this girl and he's dialing my number.
Right, yeah. And, you know, I guess it was very important to get that, you know, to get through. So either she can... I don't know, either get him out of jail or bring bail money or whatever.
Yeah, whatever it was, but he was pissed after the third Jamal. You know?
He doesn't know that you were scared after the first Jamal.
I'm like, oh, man, and I see it come up on caller ID again. I'm like, here it is again, Jamal. Jamal, I'm going to kill your ass. I swear to God, the fourth one was, pick up the phone, bitch. It's brilliant. I got to try to find that.
Kenny just hears this in the background. Yo, this is Jamal. Pick up the phone, motherfucker. Yo, how long are you going to sit? I think I'm going to sit in this fucking jail cell, bitch.
Yo, man, bring me my commissary. I got a craving for oodles and noodles, motherfucker. Sick and tired of eating all this bullshit. Bring me some Snickers, bitch.
Shit. Oh.
Hey, baby, I'm sorry. Do you have a collect call from, I'm sorry, baby. If I don't get some Snickers or some shit, I think you'll fuck me up the ass. You have a collect call from, I need that money, bitch. You have a collect call from, I'll never be the same. You have a collect call from, please, baby, help me. You have a collect call from, ouch.
You got a collect call from,
you have a collect call from,
it's too late.
It's too late. They got me. You have a collect call from, now I'm really going to kill you.
All right. That's
you have a collect call from, I can't stop crying.
shit, man. That's funny, bro. So, you wanted to bring up something tonight. It was about these L.A. preachers. It's like a show.
Yeah, it's a show on Oxygen.
I was watching a little bit of it. It's a long, you know what? I'm going to see if I can find a shorter promo. Explain a little bit of it while I look to see if I can find a shorter one.
I don't know too much about it. I'm just going on. I haven't seen any episode. I'm just going on what I see on the trailer on TV because I'm in a hotel room. I'm flicking through the channels. So basically, it's like there's a white guy. They're all dressed like, you know, like MC Hammer. Mm-hmm. And there's a one clip where the guy's got, it's probably got a, excuse me, a $10 million house with mm-hmm. a Bentley sitting in front of it.
Yep. They're all undescribably rich. And the thing is, they all have the same thing to say when it comes to money. That the Bible says to be, you know, to have whatever, do whatever it's supposed to do, and prosper. So, you know, and they're going through and they're showing these guys and they all have so much security and huge houses, mega cars, and it is absolute, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable that these guys actually still, like, when you see them with that much money, you say, well, then, as a person that goes to their church, you'd be like, well, I'm done. I'm not going to sit there and listen to some guy who talks about love and respect and needs me to put money in a fucking basket.
Exactly.
And he's out there living in, look, not living like, hey, you know what? He's got a nice bi-level house. He's making a few bucks. He's got, you know, he's taking care of his family. Like, these guys are unbelievably rich. It's like, fuck
you. Yeah, they're
you.
Balling, as the kids say.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It really is. No, they actually, little side note, I'm about a mile from Joel Osteen's cathedral.
Joel Osteen, yeah.
Joel Osteen, I'm sorry, Joel mm-hmm. Osteen.
Right.
Osteen, whatever. And the guy Paul told me, he's like, yeah, the Rockets, the basketball team used to play there, and he just bought the building and made it a church. So it's a 20,000 seat cathedral.
Yeah.
It's huge, gigantic. But whatchamacallit? Yeah, I mean, you know, I just don't get that how you could and then make a TV show about it.
Yeah, it's dude, you know? this is it's everything because see now the arrogance that these people have and now it's transcended into what America is. Everybody wants to be famous. Everybody wants to have a TV show. So they're not happy enough that they're frauds to begin with. Yes, you're fucking frauds, every last one of you, preaching your nonsense and taking money to preach. And now they're like, you know what? I want to be famous now. And now we can go on some fucking dumb reality show and become even more famous, get more Twitter followers, get more famous, have a bigger church, bigger following, and make even more money.
And no taxes.
None of these guys pay taxes?
None of these guys pay taxes. Nope, no property tax on anything. Anything, I don't know about their income.
It's got, the
I'm
income
not sure about
has
that,
to
but
be.
Anything that has to do with the church.
Yeah.
No income tax, no property tax.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't
yeah,
that
yeah.
utterly, like, if you actually watch any of these. All right, listen. I will be honest. I am. I'm not. I don't know what I call myself. I'm definitely an agnostic. I'm a very pessimistic agnostic. Brought up Catholic. Don't believe in any of organized religions by any stretch of the imagination. But I will say I've seen Joel Osteen, and he is tolerable because most of the things that he talks about are more or less like just saying, hey, you know, you got to, you know, there are things you have to do for yourself. You know, it's sort of like almost like a self-help.
Exactly. He's non-denominational. You could be anybody.
Yeah, and he throws in, you know, he throws in God and he throws in Jesus. But a lot of it is like, hey, you know what? If you put that, you know, if you have the right attitude and you put that attitude out there, you know, you're going to have a better chance of things working for you or whatever. It's fine. But the point is that they're making money by just claiming and, you know, claiming to speak with God and, you know, just preaching this nonsense. And now it's not enough. It's not enough. Now they got to have her. Now, there's no reason. Dude, if you were one of these guys, would you want a reality show showing people the size of your fucking house and all of your cars and everything that you do and where you live and how much money you make? Would you want that?
Absolutely not. If you were a real man of God, that wouldn't matter.
I wouldn't want that.
Materialistic things.
No, as a person who would be a fraud just like them, I'd be like, I don't need people knowing how much money I fucking... I don't need it to be known throughout the masses that I'm this loaded preacher. Enough people are going to know anyway. I don't want to be on a show now because it just looks so bad.
Exactly. And a lot of places that went, I'd stay in a lot of southern hotels. And what they'll do is on Sunday... A Baptist preacher or something like that will rent out one of the small conference rooms in these little hotels, in these Best Westerns, these Candlewoods.
Yeah, where they do comedy shows and stuff like that, yeah.
Even smaller. Seen them even smaller, where maybe it fits 20 people. And that's their church. That guy should not be paying property tax. You know what I mean? That guy should be making a pretty good living because he probably doesn't get paid at all. You know what I mean? Right. He does it because he's a man of God and he wants to help people. You know what I mean? He's the righteous. You know, when you're sitting there and you've got a Bentley and a yacht and people that are coming to see you are, I would say 40% of them need help and need guidance and need and don't have money. That's why they're in church.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to find a way.
Most of the time it's either money, love, or a lost one.
Sure, but you know these people. A lot of these people, they're not driving big cars. You know what I mean?
No.
If you have to pay an admission to get into church, you know what I mean? God, if there is a God, which I believe there is, He doesn't care if you're out on your front lawn praying to Him.
Right.
You know, you don't have to have a fucking 12-piece funk band behind you.
Right.
You know, or a 30-piece choir, or even a fucking Catholic headdress made out of gold and children's tears. You know what I mean? Or baby hair, whatever it is. You know, Glenn D. says he's like a religious Dr. Phil. Yeah, he's non-denominational, so he'll throw in God and, you know, a little bit in there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, of course he's banking. He bought $64 million he bought the arena for.
Right.
And just converted it into a church. But, you know, to be flashy like that, even if there was something, you know, where is that money coming from? You know what I mean? These TV evangelists also, you know, they're fucking snake oil salesmen.
Of course.
You know?
Of course. I mean, that's what it is. And it's sad. But then part of me says, in this day and age, with all the information that we have at our fingertips, I'm not talking about if you're 80 or 90 years old right now, you know, you don't know the internet, but you have everything you need to be able to find, to research, and to know that these people are all frauds. They're all fraudulent, sitting there with a fucking Rolls Royce and they got these fancy watches that are like 5,000. And you're like, what are you doing? Like, if you even believe a bit of the Bible, you know that that's not the name of the game. But they, and you will listen to the show, and they all trek to that one line where you're allowed to prosper. And it's like, you know what? I'm not even saying they should be arrested. I'm not saying anything. It's a shame, but everybody that goes in there that puts money in those fucking things should stand up and walk out and watch that movie with Steve Martin where they show how they work it when people go to these, like John Edwards, when they go to these people and they have microphones in the in this you know, in the seating area and listen to people and what they say. And they're like, oh, I lost my dad. I really want to find my dad. And then they hear it and they get information. And then they have certain tricks that they use. These preachers are just as bad, except they're using the Bible. They get to just, you know, listen, they have a personality. And I understand that they're using their personality to translate and, you know, give their speech and, you know, whatever they want to call it, their sermon. But to be making that much money off of something that's supposed to be, if you believe in anything about Jesus or anything, it's supposed to be basically word of mouth. It's supposed to be like network marketing. That's what religion's supposed to be. It's supposed to be like, hey, did you hear about this guy back in the day, 2,000 years ago? Here's a book. Read about it. Check it out. You know, here. But no, it's not about that. It's all about money.
Jesus didn't have shoes most of the time.
Right.
You know
exactly.
What I mean? Exactly. He didn't have any money, you know?
Right.
Not to say that you can make a living. And I don't mind if my pastor or whatever makes more money than me or anything like that.
Well,
if he's comfortable, you
need to be able to live a life. You know, and I understand that. And but the thing is, you know, when you're talking about the Catholics, at least that's where I grew up, being a Catholic, the nuns and the priests, they live in the actual church, you know, so they don't pay rent. And
there's
and
no fucking fun happening. And
no.
That's not like the Jersey Shore or anything. That's just a dismal, dreary place to live.
The 80s renting a room with 70 of your friends down in Seaside. Getting drunk and trying to pick up fucking girls.
When
and bring
things
them to
the start
room.
Getting personal, they start getting real. Whatever that real world shit was.
I don't know.
That doesn't happen with priests and nuns.
No.
That's just fucking nothing.
Yeah.
Sister Mary Janet always hogs the fucking remote.
As Carlin said, Sister Mary, great Lady of Agony, or I don't know, whatever the church's names were, I forgot. But
yeah.
It's sad. It's sad that now they're not only taking the money and living lavishly, now they're rubbing it in their faces. They're rubbing it in their faces, dude. It's hilarious. It's fucking hilarious.
Dude, you know what you should check on YouTube? Greg Sefola's clip, the farting preacher. Remember that one?
But it doesn't translate to audio.
Okay.
If you ever see, it's called The Farting Preacher.
It's from like literally 12 years ago. It's like one of the first viral things on the internet.
Yeah, and a friend of ours actually made it. He took all different preachers saying different things, and every time they close their eyes, he would make farts.
No, it was the one guy.
It was the one dude. Yeah, very, very funny. It's our friend Craig Sefola, who's a filmmaker. He's done a lot of work with Otto and. He's done
our best of CDs.
Hey, listen, Craig Sefola was the guy that I started doing radio because I saw, he was doing internet on Rock and World Radio. And Otto went up there. He had that show, Movies on Plastic, where they reviewed movies. And I was like, as I always wanted to do radio when I was a kid, and there was no way to do it. And they were like, oh, this is internet radio. You just go on and then you listen on your computer. And it's like a real studio. And I was like, holy shit. And I watched Craig do his thing. And I was like, this is awesome. And then, you know, I started doing it. And then you weaseled your way in. And now I can't get rid of you.
Sorry.
You're welcome.
It's what I do. I weasel my way in a lot of stuff. And out of it. Mostly out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, do you want me? Yeah. You want me to play a little of this?
Yeah, just play a little bit of the trailer. Let's see what they're saying.
See if it's got a little bit.
Can we be real about God just for a moment? He wants you to be healed. He wants you well. He wants you prosper. Come on, say amen to this.
My name is Bishop Ron Gibson.
I'm Bishop Clarence E. McClendon.
They're all in Bentley.
My name is Dietrich Haddon.
I'm Wayne Chaney.
My name is Jay Hazlip.
My name is Noel Jones.
Now they're showing these golfing fancy.
The Bible says that I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health.
even as your soul prospers. I believe that.
P. Diddy, Jay-Z, they're not the only ones who should be driving Ferraris and living in large houses.
The Bible says that those who sow among us should reap from us. That's implying that the preacher's to be taken care of.
I like being successful.
Security is a necessary part of what we do.
Being a pastor is very dangerous because you have to be perfect at all times.
People put you up on a pedestal that you can't live on.
Pastors are people just like everybody else.
It's all about truth to me from this point on. The truth about my baby out of wedlock, the truth about my divorce, it happened. There's nothing I can do about that. Yep. I'm a pastor, but at the end of the day, I'm a man.
If we plan on having more children, I want to be married. We have more than you a relationship like I'm your part of your congregation. I'm not. Don't pastor me.
The best part of my job is helping hurting people.
You're going to be who God called you to be. You're a leader.
I didn't think it could be, young brothers, until it happened to me.
My life has changed.
Living in the streets, dodging bullets, that's the low life. There's a life, brothers, where you can be free.
I believe that no one is beyond redemption.
What I really love about being a pastor is seeing people's lives change.
Everywhere I go, I try to influence people. I try to help them.
At the end of the day, this is what I was made to do.
It's called Preachers of L.A., and it's coming
and
this fall.
They said end of the day, like...
it's like listening to a friggin' athlete. It's like every athlete interview is... At the end of the day, blah, 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 blah. At
lip
the
service.
End of the day.
It's all lip service.
It's all nonsense. You know, at the end of the day means you don't have
don't
any...
Don't get me... They're not all black. Let everybody know.
No. There was a couple black dudes. White dude who almost looked like the drummer from Blink 182. Kind of had that look to him. He looked like a skater guy. One real, like, light-skinned black dude. Almost looked kind of Spanish. It's just... It's one, two, three... Looks like five guys. And it's I don't know.
Now I'm starving.
It's obscene. It's obscene. It really is. I'm offended. You heard it first, folks. Joe Conte was offended. It just angers me because
it's obvious.
Look, you're not. It's not. You don't have a shoe company where you put out a product and people who want that product because I need a pair of shoes and I like these over the other ones. And they're like, hey, you know what? I think I want to get a pair of shoes. If I don't have the money for shoes, I won't get them. No, what they're doing is they're twisting these words that come out of a fucking Bible to say, I can help you. I can touch your forehead and I can tell you to repeat after me. Oh, I believe in Jesus and I believe that Jesus is the Savior and you will be saved. Hey, my brother, you are saved. It's all nonsense. If you want to believe in something, you can believe in whatever you want. But don't tell me that you have some special fucking powers. You don't. You don't have any powers. The way you interpret things is because you have a big personality and people tend to gravitate towards people with big personalities. It's no different than this. These guys are no different than the Hale Bops and Jonestown, except those guys were just a little bit out of... They were nuts, where these guys have an end game. Their end game is, I want to live a fucking beautiful life. You know, these guys at Jonestown, they just wanted to be God.
Right,
and, you
right,
know,
right.
So they took it to, like, a ridiculous level, where these guys...
Same
like,
kind of charisma, same kind of... Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Personality...
Right.
Way of
attraction or gravitas.
Yeah. Okay. Gravitas. I like that. I think I want to get some spaghetti with gravitas later on. So
yeah. You didn't catch it before, but you said I think it's five guys, and I was like, now I'm starving.
You went with the five guys burger.
And I had to do it twice because I didn't.
Oh,
think
because
it.
The first time I didn't hear it, which I was lucky I didn't hear it. You figured, no, you know what? I'm going to punish my pal 2,000 miles away. I want to make sure he hears that joke for the second time. So, you douche. Yeah, it's angering and it's also laughable because, like I said, in this day and age. With all of everything that we have at our fingertips, you should be able to, you should know. Look, I'm not telling you
you're an idiot for believing in God or Jesus or whatever. You know you are. But if you're going to fucking give your money, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Nothing. Nothing.
Hold on. I don't know.
We back?
I don't know. It's fading in and out. But if you, by the 2013 mark, don't realize that all these preachers and all of these evangelists are all frauds. They're fraudulent. They're doing it for the money. They're doing it for the power, the prestige. I'm not even saying, look, you can get yourself a little Bible, you can get yourself a Quran, whatever it is, and you can read it and twist it the way you want to twist it. You know, the way the Klan twist the Bible into being it's okay to hate blacks and Jews, just the way terrorists twist the Quran into it's okay to kill infidels. But if you're just a regular person that's just looking for a little guidance and you go, hey, you know what, I'm going to check this out. And you do it, and it helps you. Good for you. But if you don't know by now that this world is... Whenever you hear a commercial that says, hey, a surefire way to make money, learn my way. I did it, and now I'm going to share it with you for free. Really? Do you believe that? Yeah. You believe this guy's going to do that for free?
That guy, Kevin Trudeau, just got nailed.
Oh, Kevin Trudeau, the book guy?
Yeah, he's done a couple of different things. He just got nabbed big time.
Oh, did he? Because what he does is he doesn't write anything. What he does is he gets information and then writes the book and whatever, and depending on his
He's
point
done
of view.
A bunch of different things, whether it's get your own money or do the stock market, but he's a fraud, complete fraud.
They're all goddamn frauds, man. And listen, the only person you could trust is your mama. That's it. Yeah, fuck her too?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't even trust myself. At this point. I can't trust anybody.
So,
trust in Jesus.
Trust in Jesus, man. Trust in Jesus. Because, you like guys like you, I can actually talk to because you call yourself a Christian, even though you're probably more of a Satanist in the way that you act. Which doesn't mean that he believes in the devil. Look up what Satanism is. It's actually just a sort of an atheist where you kind of believe you're your own God and you do your own thing and you don't fuck with people and you live your life. But you believe in science. You believe in God and whatnot, but you believe in science. And I think it's almost like talking to somebody who is a Democrat. But also, you know, who votes mostly Democrat, but goes, hey, you know what? I kind of like some things about what the Republicans do. I can talk to a person like that.
Yeah, the only reason why I believe in maybe that there is a God is because of my belief in science. Because it's so unbelievably fascinating and out there that I can't conceive how the hell any of this started without there being some sort of a creator. You know what I mean?
Right.
We've talked about it before, not in a long time, but just the minute, you know, if one little molecule is different on the sun, it doesn't work. You know what I mean? If one little atom on the planet Earth doesn't react with the other one, just one atom, none of this life is happening. You know what I mean? And then you kind of God said, I made the Earth and I saw that it was good. Just the fact that the phrase, and I saw that it was good, he doubted himself.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I saw that it was good. What if Earth 1 was Mars? And he was like, well, that's a little bit too far away from the sun. Let's go Earth 2. You know, Mercury. Ah, that's a little hot.
So you're saying that God had low self-esteem and made this out of trial and error?
Of course he did. God had every emotion. God has every emotion that we do. He has self-esteem issues. He has because he created it. You know what I mean? And one of those big things. And I saw that it was good. And then he said he took the 6 days and rested. He was tired.
Well, I'm just wondering. Now, was God? Jesus was Jewish, right?
Yes, he was born a Jew. Yes.
Was God considered Jewish?
God, the Holy Ghost and Jesus, the Holy Trinity.
Because if he was Jewish, wouldn't it be, and I saw it, and it was pretty good.
And then I saw it was not bad.
Excuse me, God, I'm a waiter. How you doing, God? Is anything okay?
I made mercury, and it was kind of like Tampa in the summer. I didn't want to be there. It was too hot. I go up to the Northeast, and
that mercury looks a little too small.
So what I did was I made Mars. I made Mars, a nice little small planet. I can get around all the time. Airfare is cheap. It's smaller, but too cold. Too cold. So I said I gotta make something right in the middle, not too hot, not too cold. It's like a good soup.
Shit, man.
And then I just threw in the other planets just to look at in the night sky. They were nice. I had leftover stuff. You can't waste nothing. When I grew up, we didn't waste nothing. It was during the Depression. It was during the war. You can't lose nothing. So I had a lot of rocks. I had a lot of gas. You know, gas. You eat enough coleslaw and Yitkas, you gotta get some gas. So I make Jupiter. Big gas planet. Then I make Uranus. And that one was just a joke because my Noonie, what do they call them? The grandmothers. My boogie was she had a big ass.
Hey, you know, I'm waiting for the Holy Ghost to get my headshot. He's getting late. I need my headshot.
Yeah, the big thing is the biggest thing that that I believe that God gave us was free will. If there is an absolute creator,
mm-hmm.
It's the greatest thing is free will. He says, okay, here, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to try this. He's a scientist is what God is. God is a scientist because he goes, all right, I'm going to take 14 billion years, and I'm going to create this one right here, and there could be many of other experiments that he's doing, but this one, and he says, okay, I'm going to let you guys go figure it out. I'll create all this. I'll give you the story of the dinosaurs. And for some reason, the planet is just water with no life. And then all of a sudden, boom, we've got fucking megalodons and brontosauruses in a fucking blink of a cosmic eye.
Right.
And then we've got humans. You know what I mean? Something happened there. You know?
Do you believe in evolution?
What's that?
Do you believe in evolution?
I believe in adaptation.
There's a difference between
evolution and adaptation.
What's
evolution takes a long fucking time. Adaptation is that there's certain species that just adapt to their environment. It's evolution, but it's a different idea of it. It's not, you know, there's too many things that happen too fast that evolved. You know what I mean? From amoebas and from just as jelly into then mudfish and then into fucking a T-Rex. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're gonna tell me a T, or, you know, even if it is a billion years or 500 million, I mean, it's a long time, but still, that's a long way to fucking go from a one cell organism to a fucking T Rex and into, no fucking show having middle zero in Houston. You know what I mean? It's a long way to go.
Okay. Yeah, I just think that.
But free will, basically free will. God created Earth and said, "You guys do what you do. Let's see how it turns out." And he steps off. He steps away.
My thing is that if there is a God,
a Stuart in chat room. Sure, if 4.5 billion years is too fast. See, but I can't grasp. I can't wrap my head around that big of time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, we can.
I don't know if evolution. You know, I'm sure there is evolution. There is an adaptation, evolution. It's environmental. You know, birds grow that they can't fly anymore, or you know, it's absolutely there.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. So, I think that if there is. If there is a God, the closest portrayal of him that we've ever seen in movies or whatever is George Burns, Oh God. I absolutely believe that because he basically did nothing. He just said, look, I just laid this out. You guys do, you have free will. You do what you want. You know, don't, I can't do anything, you know, because that's when you start getting into prayers and well, you know,
the first one was with John Denver and was Oh God, book two was with Rick Springfield, right?
Oh, I don't know. Was it?
Yeah. It was Oh God
with Rick Springfield.
Yeah, it was Oh God with John Denver, and then Oh God, book two was with Rick Springfield.
What?
And that's and he's still dressed like Ahmadinejad.
But that's the thing. So you know, because if you think that there's just kind of you know somebody out there who just fucking you know laid it out there and just said, here you go, have fun with it. This is what I made. And then that's it. But when you start getting into prayers and God answers prayers and then, you know, and it's like, well, so what is God? What does he have? Like, you know, what does he just pick and choose? Does he take every 14th prayer? You know, like, and that's where it gets very confusing because now it becomes our interpretation and we interpret it the way we want it to be.
Sure.
Whether it's, you know, based on the religious part or just based on person to person. Because what my biggest thing with God and prayer and Jesus and everything is, well, why is it that some people's prayers are answered and some aren't? And they go, that's the will.
Yeshi, Joseph.
Yeah, go ahead there, God. And we got their God there.
What I do, Joseph, is I take... I don't listen to prayers, and I don't answer prayers.
Okay.
The same reason why a guy who's a marathon runner gets hit by a bus and dies, who's a good man who works at a homeless shelter on a Sunday, is the same reason why I don't answer prayers, because I don't give two shits. It's all up to you. I don't care. I couldn't give a crap.
Exactly.
I'm sitting up here in God's country, no pun intended.
Right. Apparently that's in Canada.
No, but what it is, it's the same reason why bad things happen to good people is the same reason why people think answers are getting prayed. Your prayers are getting answered. Your prayers aren't getting answered. You know what I mean? You can't pray hard enough things and things good things are going to happen. Just like good people die. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're just for the same reason that... in Connecticut, that two guys break into the house and rape and kill the daughter, the mother, and the other daughter,
yeah,
and light them on fire is the same reason why some crackhead wins the lottery.
Yep.
Because it's free will
and it's just random. No control. It's random. Over it. Yeah, exactly. And you know, I think you have more control of what goes on in your life. You know what I mean? Like when somebody says, "Hey, you know, like whether they're saying they're praying for something or they're putting all their energy into something, I'm like, okay, I guess, because I do understand when you do have the right attitude, things tend to go in a different direction than if you have a bad attitude about something. It's just because it's the whole thing, like momentum in football when you're watching a football game, which I'm going to be leaving in a few minutes because my Jets are already playing. But when you feel the momentum and you can feel the energy in a game, and it's like there is no such thing as momentum. It's non-existent. It doesn't exist. But we see momentum in football. We as football fans, we sit there and go, holy shit. The momentum, it's all changing. And all it is the attitudes of the players, because the one team is starting to pick up and the other team starting to shit the bed. So the momentum is their attitude. So if you want to say, hey, you know what, you can, you know, whether you're praying or saying, hey, I'd like to have this or I'd like this to go with, you know, this to go good for me. But when people start going, I'm going to pray for you and, you know, I'm praying for those people. And it's like, well, you know what, then is that what, how does it work? The more people that pray for you, is that more energy? And I'm guessing the more famous somebody is who's sick, the better chance they have of getting better, because more people are going to pray for them because they're famous, right? That's
sure.
That's where I fucking draw a huge line in the sand and say, don't give me that shit.
Just when make I, sure when you I, don't cover up the footprints.
Exactly.
When he was carrying you.
Yes, exactly. Because when I read about the, what was it, the 11-month-old baby that was raped by her uncle, and the father and the mother were there, and it was just like one of the more horrific stories I've ever seen. And I'm going, really? God fucking loves his children, and God protects the children? It's like, no, stop it. And so if you want to say that there's something there and it's kind of just floating around, you know, like, you know, not metaphorically, I'm saying floating around and kind of gave us all these opportunities and it's all what you make of it, I'm okay with that. And if you want to say, you know, you're, you know, there's a thing with the universe and, you know, you know, things can come to you. And if you put the right energy out there, I'll even buy that. But I'm not buying that because God picks your fucking prayer over a fucking kid starving in fucking Indonesia. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it because God is a douchebag, if that's the case. If God answered your prayer because he got you the fucking job and you had a good interview, but fucking 1,100 kids died in the last fucking 12 hours starving with bugs on their face, but he didn't answer those prayers, then God's a fuckface. How about that?
He'll you can pray as long as you want to save baby Jessica out of a well, but some 8-year-old in Thailand is in a sex trade for 5 years and doesn't hear her prayers.
Exactly.
It's free. Not that I'm saying that God isn't there. I totally believe. But there's more to it than... you know what I mean? There's more to it than we absolutely could even comprehend.
Yeah. And you know, it, whatever it is, and if it is something, it's nothing. Nobody has it figured out yet, and you won't, because it's too complicated. It's like trying to figure out energy. You know, like that's why I think I put it on like a blog one day.
I figured out energy. It's 8 hours and a cup of coffee.
Yeah, exactly. I always said energy is God's stage name because. It's basically what, you know, it's the same thing. If you define energy and you try to define God, it's the same thing. Cannot be created, can't be destroyed. It's infinite, and it's the same thing with God. So,
spooky.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's how I look at it, and that's the closest thing you're going to see.
When I think about energy, I think about the $576 fucking oil bill I got to pay for dates. Fucking jerk off, rip offs, assholes.
All right.
Fucking natural gas, my cunt.
Easy on the natural gas, dude.
No, I still have oil.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah. They want me to switch over to natural gas. Yeah, bullshit. I'll give you natural gas.
I like the way that he has like very strong feelings about that.
Yes.
Like it's a Frank. Grandfather.
Everybody, that's Frank.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Frank.
I swear to God, earlier today I was thinking about religion and this show. And why would God allow this show to happen? No, but seriously.
It started with the new reality show, L.A. Preachers. Yeah, it's coming out in the fall.
Our thing with that
was just that, why if they're rich and they're mega wealthy, and why would you want to put out a reality show to let people know?
I think the reason why they do everything, including be like televangelists, crappy preachers, is, and I have nothing against preachers in general, or even somebody who's on TV, but like that kind of fakeness, I think it's just for attention. So even if it's negative attention, I don't think it gets in their heads.
It gets in their head that this could, you know, whatever, want to say ruin. But, you know, if everybody knows that you are.
I don't think they see it.
They don't see it. Attention.
I think they just see it as
massive narcissism.
Yeah, they just want people looking at them. And I think that's maybe how they legitimately fell into their crazy fake religions. Because they at one point said something and people said, oh nice. God. And then they were like, I didn't really put too much thought into this. But and then afterwards people were like, you know, it's like when you the depressed pile of crap Joe Conte and Kenny Michaels first made someone laugh. And maybe they were laughing at you, but that reaction got you like a little chubby.
Frank must be looking into the future because it hasn't happened yet. But no, well, I think you and us completely understand that aspect of it. Mm-hmm. But I think if that's true, then they have zero self-awareness
Oh my God. I really think that they just convinced themselves that this is all God's work. And it's not just because of, like, this isn't an anti-religion thing. This is narcissism thing. There are people out there who it doesn't matter. It's all about them. It's all about them. And no matter what, they'll never see the other side of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a good point,
what
man.
What always shocks me is the number of like normal people who don't experience any kind of like stardom that get pulled into this thing and then they can't get out. Like all the Amish shows, the like regular Amish people right. who spend 3 minutes in the spotlight and suddenly they've abandoned their religion and everything they've ever held dear and now it's just garbage. That shocks me, but I guess, you know, if you're the type of person, our phones are out, but my phone isn't, apparently.
Yeah, that's... He's got a great point, it's, you know, we're not thinking of that, because we're thinking, hey, you know what, you're an egomaniac. We're not thinking they're narcissistic, we're just thinking that they're just, you know, a little bit demented and greedy, and we're like, well, you know what, no, they're down with the attention, too.
Yeah. I think it happens to the little people. So you give like someone who was raised on the farm the first time they were in front of the big lights and someone's actually interested in what's happening to them. They fall to the narcissism. And then there are people, I think it makes 1,000 times more sense for people who've really, they're talking about this big deity and they still somehow make it about them. They're on a stage. They're dolled up. They've got the makeup. They're crying on camera.
It's a performance.
Yeah.
It's not, it turns. It's not about God anymore. It's about listen to me talk about this guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like I'm gonna show you God.
Yes,
as
perfect way to say it.
Right. There was a TV preacher. It was a Catholic preacher. He was, I think, on Public Access, black and white. He was like, I vaguely remember him having like a Brooklyn accent. If anyone knows who the hell I'm talking about, this is like in the 60s and something. You might know just because people are talking about him as like one of the good televangelists, kind of using TV to preach to the masses.
And would he have a chalkboard and stuff?
Yes, yes.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
I can't remember his name for the life
of
me.
All in black and white.
That's right. And
he was dressed in a garb. He was in his full regalia.
Yeah.
I used to see it on EWTN, the Catholic channel.
Yeah,
it was in black and white. I'm like, this is weird. Why is an old priest on there?
And you know, if anybody knows the name, just let us know. But that guy, you know, he was a focal point of the show, but everything he talked about was more important than he was. He was definitely not on stage performing. You look at people like Mr. Rogers or that nun who showed people penises in paintings. What was her name? Penis Nun? Remember who I'm talking about? I may be like confusing an SNL bit for an actual nun, but it doesn't matter. Those people, you could tell when people actually care and do it for the work.
Right.
And then the people who will do a reality TV show.
Yeah.
And they've convinced themselves this will get the word out somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I'm going to go... we're going to change gears for 1 second. Kenny, a guy in the chat room, 4 years, all right? And there's a reason why he's called 4 years, and I'll tell you in a second. I do have a question. I'm on the West Coast, so I can't hardly ever listen live. I have a coworker that I turned on to the show. He wanted to know about the guy. He said, he kept asking me, who's that guy on the promo who keeps saying, hip?
Oh, wow.
And
nice.
So we have to explain it to him. And then he goes, by the way, Joe, I'm the guy you took 4 years to respond to my email. Remember that dude, Kenny?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so he's the guy, and that's why he's called himself 4 years.
That's funny. That's
you know, really 4 years, to rub it in, Joe is actually pretty good at getting back to your email. Yes. If it was Kenny who took 4 years, I'm like, wow, he must have really been up on it.
That's because it was an email on Podomatic.
Oh,
that's why.
Yeah,
right. And 4 years, and you responded to him like it was yesterday, and he's like, dude, my life has changed a lot.
That was so great. Yeah. It was so funny. He's like, dude, I don't even live in the same house.
He made him reimagine his entire life. Wow, oh my God.
He's like, this is weird. I'm completely different from then.
He wanted to call in tonight, so Hopefully we'll have the phones. He doesn't have Skype, so maybe we'll have the phones.
Yeah, we'll definitely have the phones back up. I know you said you weren't available all the time, but we'll get them back up. For some reason, the phone is out, but the Skype is still on.
Yeah, when you call in the number, it goes right to cringe. Or something like that. Yeah. So,
you could always leave a voicemail on that, and we could play that next week. Just try leaving a message. Just talk after you feel like there was a beep. And maybe you're crazy. It doesn't matter.
Dude, how funny is this?
Yeah.
I get off in work in time to get the last 15 or 20 minutes of live show, and I've been trying to get in touch with you. By the way, you guys, I'd be nervous if I met you guys in person. You are rock stars to me.
Oh, man. So,
if that's a real fucking statement, it's hilarious. If he's not being real, it's even funnier.
Yeah. I'm just shocked that this guy was employed. At some point.
Oh, that he was a fan of our show?
That somebody who was a fan of this show actually held down a job.
And supposedly he got a house and he's,
crack house? Like government assistant?
I don't know. What?
What is that? What, are you being abducted?
Kenny, I don't know what he's doing.
He's probably being abducted.
No, it's cutting out on me.
Oh, there you go. All right. I think you're better now.
Okay.
But he said he's going to call in and leave a message. All right,
very
cool.
Very good. Basically, I'm just saying that anybody who wants to be on a reality TV show is a hack who just wants attention. So, last comic standing.
How about you... even worse than that?
Oh.
Kenny? Because I'm going to leave in a little bit anyway, because I'm going to watch a game.
Yeah, I was wondering what
Yeah. But 2 weeks ago, I forgot to mention last week, I went with my buddy Bob Levy to go audition for a reality. He asked me to do it.
What a tool. Not you, not Bob.
No, I know. But he asked me to do this, right? And first we went, because this is how reality shows work. They have the open casting calls, but they also have the preliminary ones beforehand, which is the real people that they want to use. And then they have the fake open ones where
they just get the reject reel.
And they get the reject reel or whatever. So we had went into the... like a month ago,
that's where you find some rough in the rough.
No, I don't. It was weird. It's a show called America's Worst Cook.
Oh.
So, dude, I had never heard of it. And supposedly the guy who is the main guy.
Also called Breaking Bad.
Yes. And this guy is supposedly like a famous cook. Famous chef. I didn't even know who he was. But we went into this apartment in the city a month before. And basically, I was the nominator, and I nominated Bob as America's Worst Chef, America's Worst Cook.
Uh-huh.
And all I got to do was sit there and talk to her. She's videotaping me, and I just get to slam Levy.
Oh,
it was fantastic. I had a lot of fun doing
it. All right.
So what happens is...
So did he find the worst comedian he knows so they wouldn't be that funny?
So basically, I got to rip into Bob for 10 minutes. And she's asking me all these questions. And she's like, yeah, keep going, you know? So Bob then, for the thing last Friday, we went into the city. And he brought two dishes that he made. One is a hamburger with peanut butter and jelly on it.
Ugh.
And he eats it.
That's pretty
and
bad.
Another one is this omelet that has lima beans and blueberry yogurt in it.
No.
And I swear to God. Cool. So anyway,
he actually did things that were food.
Yes, you know? I know.
Yeah.
So we're in this hotel and we're in this side room, like one of those ballrooms. And we're in there with all these other people. And first they film us outside of the hotel online and holding stuff. And we're waiting, and the woman loved Bob because they interview Bob afterwards, and he's out of his mind, and he's nuts. And she's like, "We love you," you know, not saying anything, but by saying, "Wink, wink, we really like you."
Yeah.
So we go there, and Bob's like, "This is going to be great. They're going to interview us, and we'll probably go in front, and then whatever." They never took us. Dude, at our table were two people from the Jersey Shore show. I didn't know because the people next to us actually told us that it was. The one girl was named Angelina.
No, I don't know.
She was such a...
Yeah, she was off season 1.
She was a douche. She was such a bitch. Some dude was sitting there with a broken leg.
Yeah.
His girlfriend was auditioning for this thing. So he got up to go get something to drink, came back, and that girl Angelina was sitting in his chair.
Uh-huh.
And there's no other chairs left. And he's like, I was sitting in that chair, and I got a broken leg, you know?
Yeah.
And she's like, she goes, "I ain't sitting on the floor." And she literally was just a douche. And it almost turned into a problem because she had some goon with him, probably your boyfriend, that looked like, you know. And I started talking to the dude, like, "Hey."
I love the fact that you did nothing to help the dude out.
No, I did. Wow. I started talking to him, and I let him sit in my chair, and then we all moved over one. But it was just a ridiculous...
too bad. I was watching the whole thing. I didn't do anything.
We were there for 7 hours.
That's a person's job. That is a marketing person's job. That's to say everybody they talk to is the best person ever.
Oh,
it's so just disheartening.
Oh, I didn't care because I'm like, I ain't going to fucking... I'm just a nominator. So all I have to do is go, I nominate Bob Levy for being the worst cook, you know, right. Worst cook in America. I'm thinking, look, that's cool. If I just get to do that and I can go home,
yeah. You
know, I'm down with that. But we were there all day, and I had a gig that night here in Jersey. We finally left. We got there at 9. We left at 5:30,
yeah. And
we never even got to go in.
Well, if it's any consolation, that show sounds terrible, and I'm sure it'll never make it.
Awful.
Never make it.
We got a question here from 4 years. What's the name of that comedian who got super drunk on the show?
Kenny.
Okay. He put not Kenny in parentheses.
Oh, he said comedian.
Who used to do shows with Conti, Kenny, Johnny O, etc. Conti has the funniest stories about him and Otto, Johnny O, and the drunk guy all in the car on the way home from a gig.
Carucci. Oh.
No, I think Carucci. It's Johnny O. Remember Johnny O in the car screaming from the back seat?
Oh,
I think
Where are we?
Why are you driving my car, Conti?
How many different stories do you have about drunk comedians that are with you?
He's confused. It's Johnny O. He thinks Johnny O was in the car, but not the drunk. Johnny O was drunk.
He was that drunk. He was that drunk that he was both in the car and he was the drunk.
He's right, though. It's Carucci. And more, it's the two drunk. Whenever we have drunk stories, it's either Kenny, Johnny O, or Carucci. That's pretty much a fact. Yeah, Rich Carucci. Find Carucci on Twitter. He's hilarious.
Sobered up? I think so, right?
Who?
Carucci's? Yeah, maybe something.
For everybody that can't hear me saying this or doing it, I just lifted my shoulders
audible shrug. See, the thing is, he's really great on Twitter, but the problem is he like does something where his like caps lock is always on, but like it's just the first word is always cap, like the first letter of every word is capitalized, so it always looks like he's tweeting the title of a book.
Yes.
This bitch online in front of me. I'm like, what is that?
Oh, man. All right. What do you think, Kenny? I want to... I think I'm ready to get the hell out of here.
Sure, yeah.
All right, I got that. Thanks.
All right. Hey, 4 years. Definitely email us, and we'll get you some Conti and Kenny stickers, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Email us at ContiandKenny@AOL, and...
They'll reply within 4 years.
And no, we'll send them out. We've already sent out a bunch. He's such a douche. So definitely. We already sent some to Colorado Dickhead and some of the other pals. Kenny, you have anything you want to plug?
No, I'm good.
Nothing?
Yeah, he's got a couple of things he wants to plug.
All right. Let me get this done real quick. Get our Twitter accounts. Follow us on Twitter. The show is CNK Show. Mine is at Joe Conti Comic. Kenny's is KennyMichaels5. Frank, how about your Twitter? Is it non-pro?
No, non-pro. Just non-pro.
Just non-pro? No,
yeah,
dash.
No dash for the non-pro.
Non-pro. That's Frank's studio right here.
That's right.
Great studio, non-productive, some great shows. If you're into a lot of the nerdy stuff.
Say the offensive words. No, you cannot. You can't use that word.
Faggy, nerdy shit.
That is our word. We use it.
The N-word.
Nerd.
Also, become our friend on Facebook and subscribe to both of our podcasts, the regular Conti and Kenny Show and also Conti and Kenny Shorts. It's on iTunes. Get my DVD or CD. Go to JoeConti.com. And then some podcasts that we are friends with. Metal Breakfast Radio, great show. Unlearn with Rich and Tony. The I Don't Know Joe Show with Joe Fernandez. The Pod Cheese, which is my friend Benny Michaels, who's an actual comedian.
Oh.
And I'm sorry. And then It's All About Me with Holly and Rorschach. So got some upcoming shows coming up. But in 2 weeks, we're doing the cancer benefit in New York City at the Bitter End. Get all that information. You can go to my website, JoeConti.com. It's on there. Thanks, Frank, for popping in at the end.
And if you want to get in touch with me, just leave a message after the beep. I am not a crook.
All right, asshole. Let's get the hell out of here so I can go watch my team fucking get spanked around.
All right, Pally, I'll talk to you.
All right, man. And
bye, Frank.
And we'll see you guys later. Thank you, everybody. Colorado Dickhead, 4 years, and everybody in the More Like Radio chat room. And, we love you.
Stuart, Lindy, and all the guys.
Yep. And coming up next at 10 o'clock on Monday here, Lust and Love. All right? We're out of here. Later, Kenny. I'm all hanging right, up bye. On you. Bye.
So long, loser. I'll see you next week.